Okay, it just happens to be Father's Day, and that's the name of today's message. The 19th of June, 2022. But there is no fixed date for Father's Day, but it's always been the third Sunday in June in the UK. Third Sunday in June, apparently. The idea of a special day to honour fathers and celebrate fatherhood was introduced from the United States, where there a woman called Sonora Smart Dodd was inspired by the American Mother's Day celebrations to plan a day to honour fathers. In the United States, Father's Day has been celebrated in June since 1910. Celebrations in the United Kingdom and other countries are thought to have been inspired by the American custom of Father's Day. So when is Father's Day this year? Well, it depends where you live. Different dates in different countries. Some common ones are Sunday the 19th of June, that's today. 48 countries, including the UK, USA, Canada, Japan and South Africa, keep that date. 9 countries choose Saturday, the 19th of March, and 4 countries choose Sunday, the 13th of November. 3 countries choose Sunday, the 5th of June, and 2 countries choose Sunday, the 4th of September. And I didn't really investigate why. Maybe you'd like to find out. So what exactly is Father's Day? There are some suggestions that the idea of Father's Day may originate from pagan sun worship. Some branches of paganism see the sun, as in the sun in the sky, the sun as the father of the universe. The June solstice occurs around the same time of year as Father's Day, and so some people see a link between the two. The 2022 summer solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, which is where we are, will be at 10:13 on Tuesday, the 21st of June, i.e. the day after tomorrow, when, sadly, the days begin to get shorter and the nights begin to get longer again. There could, I suppose, be a nicer way to look at Father's Day, rather than branding it with pagan roots, which we have done also with Easter and Christmas, etc. With good reason, actually. And this is a better way of looking at it from Exodus 20, verse 12. From the Ten Commandments, honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I'm pretty sure that God didn't mean us to choose only one day of the year in order to honour our mums and dads. The Old Testament was very strict in how we should honour our parents. In fact, it could be a matter of life and death if we dishonoured them according to the religious laws at the time. There are many ways to dishonour your father, according to the book of Leviticus. And if you want to find out what they are, read Leviticus 20 if you want to check it out. Most of them result in death if found guilty. In fact, the Mosaic Law and the Ten Commandments must have been the cause of, when you think about it, many shortened lives in the Old Testament, since theoretically there would have been many people caught out by it. But in all families, the children are not all clones of each other. They're not the same. They may look the same, but they will be different, even if they have the same parents. It's not unusual to find a black sheep in the family, if it's still okay to say that. The following scripture looks at the rights and wrongs of the father-son problem. Now we're going to look at Ezekiel 18. Verses 14 to 17. Suppose this son has a son who sees all the sins his father commits, and though he sees them, he does not do such things himself. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look to the idols of the house of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife. He does not oppress anyone or require a pledge for a loan. He does not commit robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He withholds his hand from sin and takes no usury or excessive interest. He keeps my laws and follows my decrees. He will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live. Okay. But who should take the blame ultimately? Now, what if you had a dad who was not a law keeper, who didn't fear God? A dad who was a thief, a dad who was a drunkard, a dad who was an adulterer, a blasphemer, an idolater, a liar. What if your dad was like that? Wouldn't the children of such a father, or mother for that matter, be severely disadvantaged by such close association and influence, where their parents were not good examples of society, not good examples to their children? There's a thing called epigenetics. Epigenetics is an emerging area of research which shows how environmental influences affect the expression of the genes. You've heard of the terms nature and nurture, yeah? But what do they mean? Nature is what we think of as pre-wiring, as in you're pre-wired, and is influenced by genetic inheritance, i.e. from you get it from your parents and other biological factors. Nurture, on the other hand, is generally taken as the influence of external factors after you're conceived. For example, the product of exposure to other factors, other people, life experiences, formed habits, etc. Now, I think it's entirely possible that bad character can come about in part by being associated with bad characters, like getting yourself involved in a bad crowd or a bad gang. And so they say, choose your friends very carefully. If you're blessed with parents who are godly, you're blessed indeed. Parents, that is, who would take time to warn their children about the perils of sin and living a godless life with no morals or no guidelines. And there's a proverb that covers that. Proverbs 1, 8 to 19. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit, we will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Now, no doubt the world has many millionaires, billionaires who have made fortunes from smuggling or dealing in drugs or robbing banks, committing murder, prostitution, fraud, or just simply theft. If they themselves are fathers or mothers, then pity their children, because one way or another it will have affected them. But will it ultimately condemn them to hell? Surely God is fairer than that, isn't he? Surely it's not just a case of a genetic roll of the dice, so to speak. What if a son has a father who has no morals or ethics or fear of God? Is the son tarred with the same brush simply because he was born into that family? Does the son have to follow the same path as the father, or the daughter follow the same path as her mother, the one that she took? Back to Ezekiel 18, verses 18 to 28. But his father will die for his own sin, because he practiced extortion, he robbed his brother, and did what was wrong among his people. And yet you ask, why does the son not share the guilt of his father? Since the son has done what is just and right and has been careful to keep all my decrees, he will surely live. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. But if a wicked man turns away from all the sins he has committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, he will surely live. He will not die. None of the offenses he has committed will be remembered against him. Because of the righteous things he has done, he will live. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? But if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things the wicked man does, will he live? None of the righteous things he has done will be remembered. None of the righteous things he has done will be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness he is guilty of, and because of the sins he has committed, he will die. And yet you say, well, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, O house of Israel, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. Because of the sin he has committed, he will die. But if a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life. Because he considers all the offenses he has committed and turns away from them, he will surely live. He will not die. That was all about repentance, turning it away from your sins. Now remember, this is all before the Saviour Jesus made the grace of Father God known to us in the New Testament. And Jesus honoured his Father from beginning to end and confessed that fact to the godless Pharisees who accused him of doing evil and working with the devil. In John 8, 47 to 48, Jesus says, he who belongs to God hears what God says. Now, the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I'm not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. As I think back to when I was a young lad and my dad was alive, I remember wanting to get him something special for Father's Day, but he was a difficult man to buy for. It was hard to work out what he would like that I could buy. Often my mum would help me out because she had known him much longer than I had. The bottom line was simply that, well, I wanted to please him, But I wasn't sure how best to do that. If I asked him what he would like, he might say something like, well, a small box of cigars, which is a bit difficult for a young lad to get, or maybe a bottle of beer or something, or something, maybe some tobacco for his pipe, or even a box of cartridges for his shotgun. But I think what pleased him most was when I wanted to work alongside him and take an interest in the things that he was interested in, be it shooting or fishing or gardening. You could almost guarantee that hanging around with him and asking him questions about such things would be received really well and would result in, you know, a kind of an approval thing. Especially important to me was his comment that it would only take him about 3 years to teach me how to become a head gardener, which is what he was, and also that he believed I could become anything I put my mind to. Now, whether he actually believed that or not was not that important to me at the time. I was just impressed and encouraged by his apparent confidence in me, which leads me to share something with you that happened recently while walking the dog, because things happen when you walk the dog. As most of you know, me and Toffee hang out together quite a lot. I'm most impressed that she always wants to hang out with me. Not every time, but I think she does. Especially when there's a good chance that we're going out for a walk. They say that pets often reflect and grow to look like their owners or vice versa, but I'm not sure that I look like a border collie yet. Anyway, but we're both getting old and our teeth are crumbling. Anyway, I've decided that after many years of thinking one way, I'll think and act differently when we go walking out together. And what I mean is this: instead of being angry and irritated by people who drop litter as if it was totally biodegradable and they had a right to do it, mainly kids, I have to say, sadly, we've decided, Toffee and me, that we're going to pick it up and bag it just like the poo bags, you know? And we're going to bin it. It took a while to create that habit and that way of thinking, simply because I thought I was wasting my time doing somebody else's job, or that people would just think that I'm weird. Poop bags are one thing, but picking up litter is another. However, I've decided that the sum total effect of acting this way is that over time there is less litter to get annoyed about, even though the bin is often overflowing. So you get annoyed with the council instead. It's not a cardinal sin to drop litter. I don't think it'll keep you out of heaven, but dropping it means that you don't think the same way that I do. I think one way, you drop litter, you think differently. Dropping litter was hardly ever anything I was guilty of as a kid. I was guilty of lots of other things, but dropping litter wasn't one of them. And there are reasons why I don't drop litter that go back a long way. I never had much litter to throw away. There weren't many crisp packets in those days, sweet wrappers, pop bottles and cans. And I never saw my mum and dad dropping litter either, so it was natural not to leave rubbish behind and natural to respect the countryside, because my dad looked after it. He was the head gardener. Get to the point, Rob. I've often wondered who leaves the litter on one of my favourite walks with Toffee, and I've never found them. There's clearly an alcoholic who leaves dozens of beer cans in the same place. Never seen him do it though. Scores of beer cans. There are kids who drop pop cans and crisp packets. And the new fad is vape tubes. People are not smoking as much as they're vaping these days. They moved on from cigarettes. Never caught them doing that either. Just end up filling carry bags full of rubbish and carrying them to the nearest bin, wondering why they don't see anything wrong with what they're doing. Don't they teach them anything at school? Or is it to do with the attitude of their parents? I often wondered to myself what I would do or say if I ever caught up with these people. And then one sunny afternoon, walking along the old railway embankment with Toffee, who had run ahead of me, I heard someone singing, "We all live in a yellow submarine." Toffee found him and made a friendly fuss. I held back behind the bushes and listened and watched to see if he was dropping litter. While he shouted out, "Whose dog is this? Whose is this dog?" Eventually I stepped forward and asked him what he was up to and did he like the Beatles. He said he was waiting for his mates to turn up. He didn't get it. I said, "You were singing a Beatles song." And then he explained that his maths teacher had played it to him during a slack period at school. He was only 14 years old and he was playing on the embankment, singing and messing about with a large oak tree that was older than both of us put together. I had noticed that the tree has suffered some abuse by kids. Bark has been hacked off and branches ripped off. There was fresh litter there too. I wondered where he lived and where his parents were and what they had taught him in the first 14 years of his life. I explained that I was the one who picked up the litter and binned it, and would he or his mates please stop messing the place up, as we all clearly appreciate it as a nice place to hang out. He said he'd tell his mates, as he wasn't the one who drops the litter. This little guy reminded me of myself at his age, just hanging out, mucking about, getting into mischief, just a slightly different kind of mischief, but still denying it. I think we left on good terms, because when I turned around on the way home with Toffee, I could see him across the field, still by that tree, watching me as I walked away. So I turned around and I waved at him, and he waved back. That was a brief, unexpected encounter with someone I could have been really harsh with, and a few years ago I might have been. But, like I've often thought regarding God and his creation, nature, the oak tree is older than both of us and could easily be there after we're all dead and gone. And even though it has been hacked and bashed, what does it do? Nothing. It just gets on with what it was created to do. The scars will heal over time, and it continues minding its own business, trying to glorify God by doing a good job at being an oak tree, doing what God created it to do. Just keeping on, keeping on. Now, it's Father's Day in many countries. There are children all over the world thinking about what to get for their dads. Some gifts will be funny, some will be serious, some won't get any gifts, some won't have a dad to give anything to, either because that time has passed or because a father was never well known to the child. But that is where God has proved himself good and fair and righteous all over again. In a world of trouble and strife, sickness and pain, sin, war, sadness, God is still there as a father, holding out his arms for the prodigals, the lost, the sinner, and of course those who have either never known a father, or perhaps the experience or the memory is painful, because he was less than loving or responsible. Maybe he wasn't able to express love because he never experienced love himself. But for those with aching hearts and feelings of being abandoned, rejected, or unloved, look at Psalm 68, verses 4-6. Sing to God. Sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. And rejoice before him. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. But the rebellious, they live in a sun-scorched land. Isn't that beautiful? Hopefully, we can forgive our fathers for being less than perfect, for being sinners like us, for trying to do a good job, but maybe often failing. But at the end of the day, it's whether we accept God as our Father that counts. That's the thing that counts. Whether we are growing up to please Him and become like Him. Because even if you had a really godly dad, growing up to become like him isn't going to save you. And even if it impressed him that you've grown up to be like him, that in itself isn't going to impress God. So as it's Father's Day, and it's always Father's Day, not just when mankind decide it is, try and make your Heavenly Father proud of you. Because He loves you more than any earthly father is capable of. Of course, if God isn't your Father, if you haven't been born again into His family, then I sincerely plead with you to make this your highest priority today. Seek Him out. He wants to know you. And I'm sure that all Christian fathers would love to receive news of their sons and daughters' decision that it is to follow Jesus. And now that really would be the ideal Father's Day present. Now, there shouldn't be a Christian father here or anywhere else who is upset by the following verse from Jesus. From Matthew 23:9, "Do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one Father, and He is in heaven." Now, I don't mind my three sons calling me dad, but I'd be delighted if they called God their Father. He's the real deal, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the boss. From Psalm 50, verses 10 to 12, "For every animal of the forest is mine, the Lord says, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For the world, the whole world is mine, and all that is in it." So what do you give a father who owns everything on Father's Day? What do you give him? You give him your faith, you give him your praise, and you give him your worship, and you tell him how thankful that you are his son or daughter. Our Father in heaven is also known for giving wonderful gifts to his children. In Acts 2 verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And it doesn't get any better than that. Father, we thank you that you're a loving God, that you have plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to lead us into a future which means that when we look back, we will see your hand at work and we will have achieved things which we couldn't have done without you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.